Exactly halfway through the 8 o'clock hour. Welcome to a Thursday edition of the Mornings with Ed Show. Delighted to have you with us on a beautiful and sunny, absolutely perfect Laguna Beach morning. And it seems that she brings perfection with her each and every Thursday. The weather, it's getting better and better. Our mayor is with us, Sue Kempf, in to talk to us this morning. A very good morning to you, Mayor Kempf.
Good morning, Ed. Yeah, it's not hard to bring a nice day in Laguna because every day is pretty much nice.
Pretty much par for the course the way we're rolling today. Yeah, it's been a great week. Less muggy today than the last couple of days, so it's a perfect, perfect Laguna Beach weather. How are you doing this morning?
Pretty good, pretty good. We didn't have council this week, which is kind of nice. We had four in a row, so we had a little break this week.
Right, right. That gives you a little break. It does get tough going one week after the other, after the other, after the other, I imagine.
It is, because, you know, you have to do your homework, and then, you know, there's a lot of follow-up. And then in between, you have to do your regular council, you know, work where people want to talk to you. You have meetings and things like that. So it does get, you know, pretty busy, and then you get on you're kind of on a treadmill. You got to keep going, going to cover all your bases. So
right.
It's nice to have Yeah.
Right. Okay. So we are not having this conversation next week, as I'll be out next week. So I'll try and cram as much stuff into today as I possibly can. I hope you don't mind.
No, I don't mind, and I wish you well, Ed. I mean, I think I'm happy for you, actually.
Thank you.
Yeah, I get a break and all that. It's just so hard to wait for something you need to have done. It's just the worst.
Yeah, and you know what? I'm generally a really super fit guy, and it's just bugging the crap out of me that I can't even walk like 100 yards without pain. So I'm like, okay, yeah, it's time. It's time, definitely, for sure.
Well, I can totally relate, because on Monday I'm getting this shot in my hip that I've been waiting for, and I'm the same way. I can't walk more than a couple blocks and I start limping, so hopefully this will rectify. It's just gotten so old.
Okay.
I know exactly what...
Well,
stupid!
Well, congratulations on getting your shot on Monday. We're both in the repair shop on Monday, so that's pretty cool for both of us.
Right, that's right.
All right, let's
talk... Yours is a little more... That's fine.
Yeah, well, yeah, again, you'll be all right in a couple of days. I imagine you'll be running track and doing hurdles and stuff over the next few weeks.
I hope so.
I want to talk about the mudslide yesterday. So the canyon was closed most of the day on my way into work. I was turned around and had to go around the long way. It was a mudslide from a water main break. What can you tell us about it, and were there any homes in danger at any time?
Well, it happened about 3:30 in the morning, and the pipe up there isn't old. It's not an old pipe at all, so I think they're still investigating, you know, what caused it to fail, because I think it had kind of a horizontal, got a horizontal crack in it or something. But anyway, I got a video about it a little before 4 in the morning, and I saw it, and a lot of water. So the pipe broke between the two reservoirs up there, and so they had to figure out, you know, where it actually broke, and then repair it. But it broke there, and it came down a ravine. And, of course, with that much water, you know, a lot of water and a lot of debris landed on the road. I think we did notify 10 homeowners that they may have to evacuate or may have evacuated them. I didn't hear the report on that. But there were 10 homes that we were, you know, watching and being concerned about. But, you know, the other beauty of it is, you know, Caltrans owns that road, and, you know, when we called them, they said, well, you know, you caused it, you clean it up. Well, okay. I mean, if you have a problem on the 5 freeway, do they not come out on the 5 freeway and take care of it? I mean, really, I find that really annoying. But anyway, we got our guys on it for, you know, a good portion of the day. I don't think it opened until, you know, mid-afternoon or something like that. But it was a real mess. I saw in the Orange County Register had a bunch of good pictures of it, all of mud, and it was just horrible. You know, you don't expect to have that.
No, well, you know, and you don't expect Caltrans to give you that attitude. Although, however, after when they reported to the council several meetings ago, yeah, you realize these people really, they're not on the ball. They are not one of the great movers and shakers that get on stuff quickly. And proof of that is the project in North Laguna, which they had to report to you on, where now repairs are back on after several weeks of, well, we don't have anybody to do it. It's not going to get done.
Well, yeah, it's been a few months, and you know, I've talked to residents up there. They're all irritated about it. You know, I drive by there all the time. It looks really horrible. And, yeah, I'm not impressed. It's just taken them forever. They said they have the problem with their subcontractor or whatever. I mean, really not our problem. But, you know, when we have sidewalks torn up like that, people don't know that it's Caltrans. They think it's maybe the city of Laguna Beach. And so, you know, when people call me and ask me about it, I always call them back or I write back to them, let them know kind of what's happening. That doesn't make it any better.
Right.
But I guess they're going to start do work now. They're going to do it mainly at night. So Hopefully they get everything repaired and it starts looking nice again. It was just really super irritating. You know, nothing's working well anymore. You notice that?
I noticed that, yes.
Nothing works like it did before the pandemic. Everything's slightly messed up, and or sometimes significantly messed up. It's just, you know, it's just hard to wrap your head around sometimes.
Right.
And then you have to step back and go like, well, why would I expect Caltrans to work? Half the world's not working properly anyway. But, you know, in this case, you know, this is the roadway. It's safety. You know, it impacts our, you know, our residents. And it's just super annoying. Right. You'd think that Caltrans would have a whole bunch of subcontractors, you know, kind of lined up and already cleared to work whenever they needed them. Right. But I don't know how they work. But that presentation they gave us several months ago was, ridiculous.
It was really laughable with the inefficiencies, not only in the presentation itself. These were a couple of guys that did not do their homework. They were not ready for class that day. And it brings me to the question, when you deal with them or when our city manager, Sheree Dupuy, deals with them, is it an adversarial conversation when you have to call Caltrans? Is it like that?
I don't know, but Sheree's really good at working at these agencies, I have to say, because she's, you know, she's an experienced person in terms of her work experience. So I'm sure that she and Mark McAvoy give them a really bad time, and they should. But, you know, you have to be careful with some of these agencies that when you want to be able to call them when you need them, so you don't want to get them too far back on their heels. On the other hand, they need to deliver when they say they are going to deliver. So that's the other problem. You know, I think if you're going to be a week late, let us know. If you're going to be months late, better come to the council meeting and tell us why.
Right. Well, I'll tell you what. So I know that now they've started the repairs again in the North Laguna area. I can't wait for them to screw it up. I'm just waiting for the next couple of weeks to see how they're going to screw that up. So let's all wait together with bated breath, shall we? I want to talk about the ballot initiatives that you've been discussing over the last several meetings here. I try and watch as much of this as I can. So help me out here if I'm missing something. One of the ballot initiatives that Councilmember Weiss mysteriously abstained from voting on at the August 2nd meeting. I was wondering why he abstained from that. Well, it turns out that he's the author of the argument in support of that initiative. Did anyone on the council know this beforehand? And if you didn't, is this a glaring lack of transparency on his part?
Well, I didn't know that, actually. Well, first of all, when you abstain on a vote, you're not supposed to be sitting on the dais if you're going to abstain on something. You should get off and not participate in the discussion. So most of the time, abstentions in the council world, at least my experience has been, and I think it's been the case for many, many years, is if you're going to abstain on something, it's usually because on council, it's usually because there's something happening in the immediate area of your home. So a 300 or 500 foot radius around your home, you can't vote on it. The city tells us that, you know, this particular issue's in your noticing area, so you have to abstain. So you leave the dais. You don't even sit on the dais during the discussion after the vote. You come back and you sit down. That's the way you're supposed to do it. And the other reason you would abstain primarily is because if you have a financial conflict of interest somehow, most of us don't have any financial conflict of interest. That's never usually an issue. Nobody brings that up. But you should never sit on the dais if you know you're going to abstain. You know, abstaining because you don't understand an issue is not a good reason. Right. Abstaining for without stating what your conflict is also not a good idea. So, you know, I have people abstaining. I mean, we are elected to vote on issues.
Right.
And it's like, if I don't understand something, abstaining shouldn't be an option for me. I have to figure out what the issue is and get all the background and fully understand it.
Right.
That's
right.
Not an excuse.
That's again, right. It's going back to doing your homework. If you don't understand something, you have to learn about it and then vote on it.
Right, exactly.
But I'm sorry, go ahead.
I've never abstained on anything except in my noticing area.
Right.
Never.
Now, I did notice that he voted on the one that he actually created. So he is, isn't that the definition of conflict?
Well, I think legally, you know, he's allowed to do that. It's a very odd situation that we have with this ballot measure. You know, the voting, I think he votes sometimes and sometimes he doesn't. I don't know. I don't want to really understand it, but it's just a kind of one of these situations that I don't know that we've ever had before. It's pretty awkward, but and it gets a lot of questions. It's getting some scrutiny, but on the other hand, I think he's within his right to do that legally. I think.
Right. Okay. And he put out. I guess he puts out his own little recaps. He puts out. We go to get an official recap. We go to the city clerk and we get the recap from the city that the city clerk puts out. And he puts out his own recap, and he's got a bunch of misquotes in it, or really it's misinformation about what you did to pass the new resolution for the council presenting items and stuff. Yeah, I find that troubling that he's putting out his own recaps.
Well, you know, the thing is, if you ever want to know what happens to council meeting, you look at the city clerk's recap. That's the first thing you do, and that's the easiest way to do it because it's pretty concise, helpful. I mean, I look at them all the time. Second thing is to look at the tape, you know. But if you're a council member, you're going to do that. Like, you better be putting out accurate information, because putting out inaccurate information to the community doesn't play well for a council member, because, you know, we're on the record. So the facts are facts. So you just have to be careful about that. You know, within your right, you can put anything out that you want. But, you know, you always want to keep the, you know, we're a nice community, and you always want to, you know, keep the overall messaging and well-being of the community in mind. When you talk to community members, you put anything out, you really want to make sure it's accurate. And also, you know, you want to be a positive force for the community.
I'll say this. Yeah, you want to make sure it's accurate, unless you want to make sure it's not accurate, which is what I think he's doing here. You know what? Yeah, he can make sure it's accurate, but unless you don't want it to be accurate. So what it becomes then is just kind of fear-mongering.
Yeah, I don't put out any email blasts like that. I don't do that because, for one thing, you could be prone to errors doing that, and you don't want to do that. Sometimes it's not appropriate to put things in emails. It's better just to watch the council meeting. Or talk to one of the council members and understand what the determination is, because, you know, you can, whether it's purposely or inadvertently, you can put out bad information. You don't want to do that.
Right. Let's talk about something really cool happening, and that is this coming Saturday. It's the 90th anniversary of the Festival of Arts, right?
That's right. Yeah, so it's going to be from 12 to 3. It's free, so you get to come in, and Lee Rocker's going to be performing from 1 to 2:30.
Nice.
We have a brief, happy birthday to the festival starting right at noon. So we're going to have a few speakers. It won't be very long. We've got a big frame proclamation that we'll be giving them. I think if they want me to read the proclamation again, so I'll do that and maybe say a few words. And I don't know who else they have lined up. But it's pretty cool. I mean, 90 years. Think of all the ups and downs they've had. You know, just this year we had a power outage that one day it knocked the festival out, but. You know, think of all the ups and downs they must have had over the last 90 years, and all the challenges they had, things they had to overcome, and all the great things that they did. I mean, it must have been, it's just a fascinating, fascinating that this event has endured this many years.
It is truly a Laguna Beach institution. It really is. And 90 years, right? Wow. Yeah, if those walls could talk.
Yep, exactly. What a beautiful event we have now.
Right. So if we're both there, if you and I both show up, it'll be our last weekend of limping. So we'll both be in better shape for the 91st birthday, I'm sure.
We better find ourselves a seat.
I'll definitely look forward to seeing you this coming Saturday. I really appreciate all your time with us on air, and thank you for the honest conversation we had here today, Mayor Kempf.
Oh, my pleasure, Ed. So I wish you the best of luck.
Thank you very much, and I wish you the best of luck. And with any luck, I'll see you on Saturday.
Okay, good deal.
Have a great day. Thank you very much. 8:46 the time. It's The Mornings with Ed Show.